stuff, and then, of course, this thing was in the vicinity right after Stalin had docked it, and they took that picture. So I thought it was a unique picture, so that's why it's now on your website. Thanks for putting it up. Anyway, we'll move on here. This is WSU. Okay, yeah, they do have, I mentioned this before, preview leaks, last week anyway, helium leaks that they're trying to figure out what's causing them. Right now it's not a problem. They close the manifold on Starliner when it's attached to the space station anyway, and then nothing leaks. So it only leaks when they open up the manifolds if they're going to be using it. You know, either docking with the space station or undocking. So they'll only need them for a short period of time. There's plenty of helium in the vehicle. The helium is used to push fluids in the direction of the thrusters. You don't have any gravity, so you don't have any pumps doing this. So they actually use an inert gas, in this case helium, to do that. Unfortunately, this is very, very thin molecules, kind of like hydrogen. It's very hard to, this stuff contained. Lightest problem with it, could create a leak. But the leak, they said, is so minimal that it's not really a problem. But they do have to get a handle on it, and I'm sure they'll do that before they launch next year. Once this thing is certified, after Sonny and Butch return, next Saturday, they'll certify this vehicle, and then they'll make any upgrades and improvements that will be recommended by the crew and ground control for the up-and-coming regular service of the Starliner, which will be once a year. And SpaceX will be once a year, and they'll be staggered every 6 months apart. So you'll have crews going up like they do now for 6 months at a time. The problem is that right now that load of doing this two flights a year, is falling on SpaceX. So they don't mind doing it. It's a bunch of money involved, but it will give them a break, and it'll give NASA that feeling of redundancy that they love. It's the thrusters that are causing a problem. They say there's triple redundancy in that, as well as a lot of systems on board. So I'm sure they'll have no problem in returning to Earth. Any questions?
Hello, Echo 2 Alpha Juliet Uniform.
Good evening, Charlie. How are you? You have a question? A comment?
Yes, I do. On the space, on the space station. I went through the pictures today. There are no places to stand up in the space station. Everything is laying down, and you're kind of like dragging yourself from one tunnel to another.
Oh yeah, that's right. And yes, you could actually see it better if you go to roy.2gs.com. Put that in. So you got to put in, and his website will come up, and you scroll down a little bit, and you can see that picture I'm talking about. And what you're looking at is around 15 modules. I think there's 16 now, because Russia added another one a couple years ago. And each one on the inside is roughly around 14 feet. The whole thing is around 14 feet diameter, so they have about 12 and a half feet, I would say, in diameter on every one of these modules. And each one is, up to 22 feet long, unless you get into the Kaibo module, which is 32 feet long, and that's the biggest one. That's put up there by Japan. And that's the one that, if you see an interview, or we see, talking to whoever they're scheduled to speak to. And most of those interviews take place in the Kaibo module, which is the biggest. In fact, they have two two modules connected to that. The smaller one above it, also part of the Kaibo chip system. So you'll see, let's say, two people being to the press, you know, during an interview. And at the end, they always say, you know, the event is now over. You know, NASA control says that. You'll see the two astronauts. It was, I guess it's a way of signing off. Instead of doing a flip or something, they just float straight up. But really, where are they going? They're actually floating into that smaller module that's located above them. But yeah, you don't need feet on the space station. You push yourself from one end to the other. Of course, causes a problem after a while because these people up there are, you know, sometimes 6 months at a time. There's been a couple of them, like Christina Koch and Scott Kelly. They've been up there for a year at a time, and then another fellow, Frank Rubio, he just spent over about a year out in space. But all these guys, they, you know, grew up. Everybody has a turn on the exercise. They could run up there, run in place, where, you know, all kinds of lifts and everything, like you're lifting weights, but you know, you're really pushing against, you know, spring material, and have to do a lot of that to try to keep themselves in shape. Otherwise, you wind up with, what's the word, atrophy. You know, like you're laying around in a hospital, you know, for months on end. You try to get up, it ain't gonna work. Back to you, Charlie.
Yeah, I got another question. They had in the space station. Was they growing body tissue up there?
Yeah, I've heard that. Out of the hundreds, I think there's always around 300 to 400 experiments being done on a regular basis, you know, over the years. I've heard that. They built some kind of a substrate, and then they try to grow some kind of body tissue around it, you know. But I tend not to follow those stories. No. Got to be real good at biology for that one. I'm not. I wouldn't want to be a doctor. I don't know how Roy did it. I mean, that's amazing. It's like a lot of work to me. Anyway, back to you, Sean.
What? I don't see why they don't do that here down on Earth.
Well, I don't know how successful they are at doing it. I know that they're involved with it. But the idea of all these experiments they do in space is because they're in microgravity. You know, it's not perfect gravity. It's microgravity, they call it. You know, things tend to eventually have to float to one side or another on station. But it's good enough for crystal growth. They grow crystals, which is very hard to do precise crystal type of growth on Earth. So they do that on the space station. They do experiments. They have this coal atom experiment contraption that they work with on a regular basis. And they're able to, like, bring the molecules or atoms down to, you know, almost a complete stop for, you know, a short period of time. And then they can study that. Of course, you can't do that on Earth. So, yeah, all these hundreds of experiments are being done because of the lack of gravity. Back to you, John.
I thought that was really, really something, because right here on Earth, we have we're just trying to do a transplant. There's a shortage of body parts, and they're doing space well.
Paul? Okay, I'm not laughing. How far they've gotten? I don't think there's any kidneys coming out of the space station yet. But I know they're studying it. But yeah, Barry, this is the fellow that knows. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, they do cell cultures all the time, all over the world. This is just a little mini experiment, seeing what happens when you try and grow cell cultures in microgravity. It's not like they're growing another astronaut, though. It's very, very difficult to keep cell lines alive. You can't really get them to differentiate into organ systems. You can get types of cells. Like you can get them, sometimes you can nudge them into Gruffel cells or epithelial cells or such. But it's early, and it's 99.9% of this is going on the planet Earth. This is just a little variant of, let's see if microgravity has any effect.
Okay, there you go. That sounds interesting. And Charlie, does that answer your question regarding cell growth?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, very good. You cut out there for a second, Charlie. But very good. Thanks for the question. NASA is right now they're reassuring the public that there was no emergency on board the space station. Apparently, they had either an interview going or an open mic going at a certain point of the day a couple of days ago, and there was on Earth. Apparently they were doing a test on Earth. They always do. They for emergency. Now that got conflated with what was going on the International Space Station, and because of this, the local, I guess an open mic that was somehow connected to the transmission of the of what was going on the International Space Station. It looked to whoever was listening like there was a real emergency on board, the speaker was asking the crew, he would check his pulse one more time, and the stricken astronaut inside a suit pumped full of pure oxygen, and they heard all these things going on. The best treatment is blah blah blah, and this apparently it got people who were listening thought there was a real emergency, so NASA put out a statement that, nothing like that is going on. In fact, what was going on at the time was a sleep period, so most, if not all, the astronauts were actually sleeping at the time. The commander did not have a heart attack or any kind of anomaly, so I thought that was interesting. No big deal. But that's one of the things about NASA. If something weird happens, they pretty much tell you. Outfits, they're open. They give a lot of information. But they have the ability to hold that information back, And I always like to know what's going on. And I'm sure most of the public would. And, of course, that has been like that. Sometimes they try to hold things back to some degree. But I like private companies. They could get away with that. Any comment?
No, not right now. Okay,
Charles. Anyway, there's supposed to be an EVA spacewalk, extravehicular activity, on Thursday. Couple of days ago, and Tracy Dyson and Matt Dominic were supposed to do a spacewalk. They're supposed to go out of the Quest Dale, and they were going to float it to the starboard side. And apparently, there's an antenna that's screwed up, and they're going to try to, I guess, maybe disconnect it, maybe put another one on. Anyway, they work on an RF system. That's part of one of the things that we're going to do on the spacewalk on Thursday. But they did cancel it. As they were putting the spaces on, they weren't being enclosed yet. But apparently one of them, I don't know if it was Tracy or Matt, had an issue with the space itself. Apparently maybe some kind of a comfort or a fit, and it just wasn't right. And whatever it takes to start all over again, it was going to take too long, so they just canceled it, and they're going to do it some other time. There's three walks actually planned for the month. This would be one of them. But they get another chance to go out and move the electronics the radio frequency group. I don't know what, where they get the word group from, but it's called the radio frequency group. So apparently it's a box that they disconnect starboard truss section of the space station. Yeah, you know, you have a starboard side and a port side. You have a right side and a left side on the space station. So, and there's a way to figure out which one you're looking at. I know it's zero gravity, but there is a... You can figure out which one that is. The American side is pushing through space first. The American modules, you know, like the Hot module, it's right in front of the long group of modules. That's followed by a series of other modules. Once you go down, you know, behind Harmony, you have Destiny, and then behind that you have Destiny, they call it. Destiny is called American Lab. And behind that you have Node 1, also called Unity. And behind that you have Pressure Radio Adapter 1, which converts over to the Russian side. And they have Russians have two big modules as well. The functioning cargo block with Bethesda. This whole series of modules. So if you look at it, and you look at the big supports, these big truss supports that come out, you know, get that from what I just said, like being like the fuselage of an airplane. And think of the truss sections that come out one side and the other as the wings, you know, of an airplane. They're not wings, but the truss sections go out the length of over a football field. And on the ends of that, you have these mint solar panels. But look at the truss section. On the right-hand side would be the starboard side, and then one side on the left-hand side, that truss section would be the port. Somewhere off on the starboard side, probably maybe 100 feet, 150 feet away from the Quest Lab where they leave from the center of the space station, they'll float over to they use handrails, you know, they go hand over fist all the way to wherever they have to go. Like Charlie said before, you don't need your feet, everything's with your hands. They'll float over to the RF group, this box, probably within a couple of 2 days, I guess they'll do that. Any comments before I move on?
Yeah, I got one. I'm looking at the space station now, and they're going from one module to another. Why is everything perfectly squared, wrapped the same?
Why is every something wrapped up the same? I missed that. Back to you, Charlie.
Every package, every item has a white wrapping around it? Why?
Well, you know, if it's the storage areas where they're storing water or storing stuff, material, it's wrapped in white stuff too. It's all cushioned. You know, the stuff could fall and mess into something. So, you know, it might be something with sharp edges on it, you know, you don't want that banging into something. So I'm sure they have a reason for covering it up. If you go into the pressure mating adapter one, that's the main connector that connects the Russian side with the American side. There's a whole bunch of bags in there when they store stuff. Then they also have one big hole module on the American side called the Leonardo. Leonardo is, it's like 30 feet long, 14 feet diameter. You float to that, and that's their storage thing. You know, I think of it like, you know, your basement that you don't use much, you just store full stuff. And they do have that. And there's white gigantic, it looks like gigantic cushions, one right in, and they're all filled with stuff. Some of it might be filled with junk and things that have to go back to Earth and might fly on a Falcon 9 rocket, you know, a crew vehicle, lands in the water, might be some stuff like that. Or it might be glitching. They might put it onto a Progress vehicle, you know, a cargo vehicle, a Cygnus vehicle, you know, unmanned vehicle. Brings up cargo. When they bring up, you know, sometimes anywhere between 6 and 10, or in the future, 12 pounds of stuff, when they leave, they can take up to, you know, 5 or 6 thousand pounds of stuff that needs to be destroyed. They'll put that into that vehicle because Progress and Cygnus, they're going to burn up in the atmosphere over the South Pacific Ocean. And away goes trouble down the drain. Back to you, Charlie.
Now, in their garden, where they're growing their plants, you've got, what is that white substance that they're growing the plants in?
Sounds like you're looking at the veggie experiments, which have been very successful. And it's a hydroponic system. You know, they don't have dirt. They have these, I guess, white tubes that, you know, connected to the moisture, or I guess water. And it's within a box. It's usually just over a meter square that you're looking at. And they've grown things from, you know, lettuce, and they grew a couple of tomatoes on board. With Frank Rubio one time, they said, you know, what happened to that tomato that they grew? They were blaming him that, so maybe he ate it, you know. I don't eat it. Eventually he went back to Earth, and after a year in space, he said, no, I don't know what happened to that tomato. Sure enough, another crew that was up there, the tomato had floated away and got stuck somewhere by a vent, and then sure enough, they found it, and they exonerated Frank Rubio. But, usually it's pinkish when you look at it. You know, they have these kind of pinkish look when you look at the veggie section. But that's where they're growing stuff, and that, by the way, is located in the Columbus Module. Columbus Module is the European Space Agency contribution to the International Space Station. Another big module near the front of the whole International Space Station. And here, a ham radio transmission in the United States, you know, from an American on board that has a call, that's making contact, they'll be transmitting from that module, the Columbus Module. Same location as the veggie experiment. Back to you, Sean.
I thought that was really something. They're growing vegetables and something else in ground. Wow. That's all I wanted to ask. Thanks.
Yeah, they're getting better at it little by little. I mean, the goal is to be able to know what you can comfortably grow in space and mass produce. You know, they plan on going to Mars on a year and a half trip. In the future, you're going to need to grow your own stuff. The idea of just storing, you know, enough food for a couple of years' use is okay, but, you know, they can do it, but they whittle to like to grow stuff, you know, in the space station itself or on a trip to Mars. Or even on Mars itself, if you set up a habitat, you know, you're going to want to be able to grow stuff. I don't think they're going to grow any cows anytime soon, but, you know, if you're a vegetarian, I think it's a good time to be an astronaut. Anyway, let me drop it and move on. This is WS2N. Okay, this is about the Hubble Space Telescope. You know, launched in the 1990s, early 1990. Didn't get into full operation just later after they fixed the operation that they had, Mira. One of the things that keep space telescopes stable are gyroscopes. And they had a half a dozen big gyroscopes in Hubble. And over the years, in 19, you know, from Well, they did 5 service missions over the years. Last one was 2009. But in those missions, when they went up and they had to repair things or upgrade things, sometimes the gyros would fail. You know, maybe after a couple of few years, one would fail. And they actually replaced them on some of those missions. The very last mission, they replaced 2 of them. You know, they 2 were completely shot. 4 were working, so they replaced 2 of them with upgraded type of gyroscopes. Really, you know, the things that they, you know, they wish they had that technology. You know, years ago when Hubble was first built, they're very reliable. So when the astronauts left in 2009, they predicted maybe we could get, you know, another 7 or 8 years out of the Hubble. Well, now time has gone by, and we're in 2024, and yes, some of those gyroscopes have failed, and to the point now where there are really only 2 left, and the 2 that are left are what were upgraded versions from the last service mission of the one of your shuttles. So they feel it's so reliable. I have 3 of them operating all the time, 3 out of 6 minimum, and then it's very easy to, you know, once the Hubble is pointing at a certain target, you know, if you want to move it over to another target, when you have 3 working gyroscopes, it's easy to do. You can move it pretty quickly to its new location. If you're only working with one, yeah, you can do it. It's going to take time, and that's what is happening now. And 2 very good working gyroscopes, rather than run at the same time, they just leave one, because one will work. The only problem is it takes longer to redirect that gyroscope, the telescope, into the proper location. They figure, well, you know, the engineers who are all kinds of analysts, and they figure out what kind of time they're going to be losing. They will lose only 20% of information that they could be getting back if they had 2 or more operating gyros, which you know, is doable. They leave it like that until eventually one fails. The other one is now a standby. So they believe they could go on to 2030 or 2033, I heard. As long as they can, Hubble. No plan to send a pair mission to it. They feel none of these space companies like SpaceX or even the Dream Chaser by Sierra Space that will be eventually not only crew but eventually not only cargo but eventually a crew vehicle will not have the capability right now anyway. You know, they might be able to dock with it. They left the docking ring on the last mission in 2009. If anybody wanted to come up and dock with it. So they might be able to dock with it, but they won't have a platform to actually have crew go out and work on the telescope. So the best they could do may push Hubble to a higher orbit if it's starting to decline. It's not as low as space station, so it doesn't hit any rarefied air. It's a little bit up there. They're at 350 miles above the 350 to 400 miles above the planet. But a space station is 220. So there's less air molecules to interfere with the Hubble as it moves through space. But it will slow down eventually because a couple little molecules will eventually slow the thing down, but right now it's okay. Maybe they'll push to a higher orbit, but even that, NASA has turned the other companies down that are offering to do that. They're so afraid of their thrusters, when you fire a thruster in a spacecraft, everything into the system of the Hubble, impacting it where nothing will work. But, that's an update on the Hubble Space Telescope. Hope it keeps going. Dick used to talk about it all the time. He considered himself a a hubbleter. So that was a common term used for hubble huggers. Want that telescope to stay functioning forever. Any comments?
How far is Hubble out right now? Because it's still working.
Right now it's still working, and it's 350 miles above the surface. The space station is 250.
Yeah, they're saying as of today it's still working. I'm looking at it on the internet now.
Very good. I'm glad to hear it's still working. You know, I read this stuff on a regular basis, but you never know. Tomorrow something could quit on it. That's great. That's fine. I just want to mention that the HALO module is all welded together and moving into a facility. What HALO is, it's going to be part of the first pod of the Gateway space station that will eventually be put around the moon. HALO will be launched by SpaceX Falcon Heavy, attached to the propulsion and electrical module. The PPE module is another one being constructed that will have big solar panels on it, so it'll be able to get power and propulsion, fuel and stuff that can be there. Including four Hall effect thrusters, those ion thrusters, become a very important part of Gateway. It will actually be an international effort. Space station that will be around the moon. But HALO is going to be where people will live and one of the main modules. HALO stands for Habitation and Logistics Outpost. So it's a big, around 14 feet diameter, similar to the space station. Some reports I read, the interior is going to be a little tighter than the space station. But they're not going to have as many people. You're going to have up to four astronauts staying on that. Not full time, but you might stay a month at a time on Gateway. Anyway, it's being built in Turin, Italy, which NASA has contracts for building a lot of these things, a lot of these modules. This module that picks up on a regular basis is built in Italy. This company, Thalassalina, Thalassalina Space Company, is the one that builds this stuff. And when it's complete, eventually gets over to the United States for eventual launch. But I saw pictures of it. It's the main part of it is now constructed, all welded together. And they're going to send it in for vibration tests, and eventually put it into a vacuum test, on and on. But we'll see. I mean, inside of maybe a couple of years, they plan on putting it, probably at the end of 2025, they'll be able to put HALO in it and its propulsion module to lunar orbit. They'll be bolted to here on Earth. There was initial plan of sending two pieces separate, the power propulsion module and the habitat module. We're going to dock in orbit around the moon, but they said, let's bolt them together here on Earth first, and we'll just send it up in a bigger rocket. They're going to use the SpaceX Falcon Heavy, which is a lot of thrust, around 5 million pounds of thrust. Should be able to do it. But we'll see. I really don't have anything else. Just want to mention Ed Stone. Ed Stone was an engineer, project manager of the Voyager space project, Voyager 1, Voyager 2. He did other projects as well. But he stuck with that his whole life. Seen many interviews with Ed Stone. He was terrific. Anyway, he passed away last week. And if you ever see an interview about the Voyager from years ago, I guarantee Ed Stone would be one of the people that the reporters would be talking to. Anyway, we're going to turn it back to Roy and close it up for today. And everybody have a good feeling. You had a good Father's Day.
That time. Complete.
Back to you, Roy. Well, see, tomorrow's the club net. We'll hear more about the Field Day event tomorrow on the Weimar Club Net. AC2GS, WS2N for the spare report for the TechNet. Back to you, Roy.
Yes, this is AC2GS. See, Paul, thank you for all that you do with the SpaceNet report, and you do with the technical net, and all you do for the club. You all share it, especially appreciate it. Want to mention people behind.
Roy, do you hear me now?
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2L repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Welcome to the W1HCN repeater system.
Morning, you're listening to the fourth.
W2VL repeater.
WI2M listening.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Framingham, Massachusetts, listening. W2, Victor Lima, repeater, K1DF, listening.
Standing by.
listening. W2VL repeater with the beam on Long Island, New York. Any copy, K1NDF.
Tonight at 8:30, this W2VL repeater. InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeat. W2VL repeater. 2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WB2ZSC.
somebody looking for me?
Yes.
Good. Good morning.
Morning. We're looking at potentially Wednesday, Thursday next week. Or either of those days better or not better for you?
Wednesday would probably be okay. I have to touch base with Steve because I don't know if he's going to be tied up or not.
Okay. I left a message for Steve. Like, I could turn him up in the last couple minutes. I guess between you and him and George, if you could let me know what day is better, and we'll firm that up, and I'll let you know.
WB2IKT.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight.
There you go. Speak and he shall receive.
There you go. Now we have two of the three. George, so we're looking at Wednesday now based on potentially Steve's Zedesi's availability. Are you good Wednesday for 21?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. If I have activity, it would probably be later in the day. I don't think I have anything going on, though. I think that day is open.
Okay. Your scope is pretty much going to need to retrieve that equipment so I can, you know, yank that out and get you on way quick. So, cool. Okay. And we just waiting on Steve. If he, WAK, if he can firm up on for Wednesday, then I'll let Frank.
Hey, just to be sure, it's a week from this coming Wednesday, right?
That's right. Not this coming Wednesday, but from this Wednesday. So, next week, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm all right with that. I'm just taking a look at my calendar if it'll cooperate, though. Hold on a second.
Hey, Roger. I'm looking at, I believe it's the 19th, 1-9. That's a holiday for some folks. I'm not sure if Frank realizes that, so I'll remind him.
The 19th. As far as that, I can go. That's fine. I mean,
26th.
If I have to, I'll just spell it out. Okay. I was going to give Steve a hint with what he wanted to do.
Gotcha. That was a double, and Steve kind of wants to get into it.
I just said that 15th is this coming Wednesday. It's like 2 days from now. Today's the 6th, or the 17th, rather. And I think the day you're talking about is the 26th.
Yep, you're right. I can't apparently read right to left in rows. Yes, the 26th.
Okay. Still good with that.
There you go. So if either of you happen to hear from Steve, and you just want to pass that along, and I have a message waiting for him when he turns to his phone, so, like that, I think we're in good shape. Appreciate the help, Philip.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll back. If not, I've got to talk to him later. I know he's occupied earlier in the day and probably won't be free till the mid-afternoon, I think.
There you go. All right, cool. I'm going to get back to work, but just worked for Frank, so I wanted to socialize that around. I will catch you guys later. I'll say George to get it, who will leave the confusion and all this announcement. So we'll speak to you. Do that. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Very good. Okay. 73, and be a week from this coming Wednesday. Steve?
Okay. I would, let's see. I don't see a problem with that. I do want to get out, but we'll have to bring a service monitor before we put it in. You're going to meet Andy before that to put that board in. Maybe you want to take the repeater there, put it in the rack.
Yeah, that means somebody has to get the repeater to me, or do something about it. I don't have it. I don't have access to the storage.
Yeah, I can fix that. In fact, I got to go pick a few things up right now and get the car washed as well. So let me just see what's cooking.
Yeah, okay. I'm on my way east. I'm on Jericho Turnpike in Smith.